Hello and welcome to the Mind Mastery Makeover 5D Formula for mentoring your lower mind, attuning and calibrating your energetic systems to this new five-dimension energy. This is a frequency that's going to streamline your ascension process. As we all move to that next level of us, we understand that sometimes we go through phases and cycles where our mind wants to check out. We don't find that we have that recall that we used to. We find that we may be grasping for our mind to really conform to what we want in that moment. So this powerful connection we form here today within the community will energetically support you in overcoming those lower level tendencies. And those lower level tendencies are the habits that you have formed in that subconscious mind, and that's where we're going to be working. And I just want to commend you for choosing to really gain your power over your mental patterns, those old beliefs, the ancestral patterns and paradigms. It's important, and I'm also filled with great gratitude that we've been guided to this appointed time together so we can have a place where we discover more about ourselves. We're in that growing process. And I'm glad that you're here so we can do that together. Now, I know that you have this power. You already hold this power to shift your subconscious blueprint. And I feel confident that our connection will only enhance and strengthen that ability, especially with our mutual intention today that we're going to be setting. So, throughout the Mind Mastery Makeover, throughout this program, you're going to see great change through those ever so small shifts that are taking place deep within your psyche. This isn't magic, although it can really appear that way. And I remember when I first got started with using guided and therapeutic imagery to change my fear, and one of the major fears that I had was the fear of public speaking, the fear of getting up in front of people, expressing myself, sharing, teaching. And I went from this really scared, frightened young woman at 30 years old to someone who can now truly recognize that the information coming through me and the information that I'm teaching is way more important than someone and how they're judging me or looking at me. And before, it really was difficult. I mean, I would shake and sweat and break out into these red blotches all over my body just asking a simple question in front of a group. And even though I desired to have more information, if I was in some kind of classroom situation, there's no way I would draw attention to myself. I also went through the experience of being able to slowly open myself up for more confirmation of my own gifts and validation for that. So I want you to know that working deep in the subconscious mind can shift anything from your financial abundance to how you feel, whether you feel confident or worthy to gain attention, to have love. It can also support you in shifting any physical issue that you might have. I mean, I worked with someone that had restless leg syndrome where all her life she couldn't get a full night's sleep. She had this issue with restless leg syndrome where her legs would just uncontrollably just start kicking. And after 6 weeks of working with her 1 hour each week, she finally, in her whole life, I guess she was probably about 36 at that time, finally had her first night's sleep. Fully, all the way through. She used to get up in the middle of the night and go and eat and do all kinds of things unconsciously because she had so much anxiety in her body. And so this really works. It goes really deep down. And here we're going to be working with our mind. The mind is great. It's powerful. It wants you to put it to work. if you don't mentor it and guide it, if you don't take it upon yourself to lead it, it's going to lead you. The mind wants to be led. It wants to be given a plan. It wants to be guided, and that's the job of your higher self. So if you've been feeling ungrounded and unstable or at a loss for words, memory recall, you're in the right place. We are here to really have you understand the workings of the mind, the levels of the mind, and how to begin to refine your intuitive reading abilities and skills and to lock into that space of your heart so you can streamline your being, your mental processes for efficiency, to move beyond procrastination, beyond resistance. Many times we have opportunities land in our lap and we choose to turn the other cheek, to walk away, to pretend that it really wasn't that important, but it is important. All of the opportunities that we have to step into our greatness are very important, and there's a window that opens. We must do it at that time. It's a gift from the universe. To be able to also transition through the cycles and phases of the growth and the change more easily and peacefully, because it can be exhausting sometimes. We can find ourselves waking up and not having any energy, thinking, oh my God, how am I going to make it through this day? Also, if you just want to go to the next level of having a presence, and what I mean by that is not necessarily having a presence in the world, like you're this personality in the world or you're this persona in the world, but what I mean is just recognition of your value, how you fit into the world and what your offerings are. Whether that's in a moment sitting across the table from someone at tea, or whether you are on a greater platform or a bigger platform, reaching hundreds of thousands of people. So I'm glad that you're here with me right now, because we can support you, and you just need to know how. You need to have the tools, and you need to use the tools. That's all, okay? So being witness to your journey, coming out of that fog and into the clearing and discovering more about the truth of yourself and the power that you hold is going to be such a great gift for me. So let's go ahead and get started. I wanted to share in this first part about your mind, the theory of the mind, and the different parts of the mind. And I want you to think about your mind having so much space, right? And who owns your mind space? So just think, if your mind was made up of shares, how many shares would your lower self claim ownership to right now? How many are owned by you? And how many are owned by your higher self? So you're not your lower self, the subconscious. You're not your logical trained mind, otherwise known as the conscious mind. And you are not your mind. You just aren't your mind. You're in charge of your mind. But your mind goes by default, unless you take control. And it just goes by default because we have that subconscious blueprint. So you need to own all the shares of your mind, and that's going to bring you to a place of power, that higher self, higher mind power, no longer on default to this lesser brand of you. We need you to really expand to that higher brand of you, that higher level of you, the fullest expression of you, the fullest divinity being expressed in every little thing and in the greater things that you take on in life, okay? So for the smallest goals to be achieved and the greatest goals to be achieved. So I want to talk about the theory of mind, and if you think about the theory of the mind, if you have paper there, you want to draw a circle. Just imagine drawing a circle. And that lower part, it's a small little area, a lower part of that circle, we call the primal mind. And that's really that area of your mind where you are living in a space of survival. And if you just imagine being in that space and all of a sudden, you know, you're available to only a limited way of thinking. when something occurs, you immediately go into that fight, flight, freeze. You're in the space where there's not a lot of choices. So that primal mind is still active in all of us. But what we can do is bring consciousness to it and recognize it in that moment. So we're in that place where that primal mind is still active. But let me tell you, it's almost now shrinking, 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 becoming smaller and smaller so that we can truly utilize that energy and say, no longer am I going to be a victim to that. I'm going to allow myself to utilize those tools when necessary. But I'm not going to buy into that I need to be overwhelmed or hypervigilant and to really take charge of that mind. We have to understand what prompts it. And so the next level, if you were to actually draw a line through the center of that circle, between that center circle line and the primal mind, you have what we call the subconscious mind. That's your blueprint. That's where you're going to find the programming from your ancestors, the paradigms, the beliefs and thought forms and the values that you have based upon your learnings in this lifetime, past lifetimes, wherever you picked it up, whatever dimension you picked it up, whatever example you saw, you actually, in growing up, you were always searching with your mind like this camera, taking these snapshots, and each snapshot is a live event for you. So life is made up of all these happenings, these little snapshots, these life events, and your mind at that young age was actually feeling out the environment and taking these snapshots. And it doesn't have to be just with your visual sensory acuity. It can also be with that feeling, your clairsentience, your clairaudience, your clairgnostic abilities. You're like the sponge just being born, and you're taking it all in, and you're wanting to make sense of it. And so with that environment, the subconscious mind, there are identifications and associations that are formed so that you can learn, so that you can grow, and you can begin to understand and make an assessment of what feels safe and what isn't safe to do, who feels safe, who doesn't feel safe. And in that subconscious mind, if you imagine that there's these little positive marks, like a plus sign, and there's little negative signs for the associations and identifications. Now, if I were 5 years old and I wanted to help mom cook dinner, and I reached up on top of the stove and I burnt my hand on a pot and I saw the heat and the flame of the gas stove, I immediately would make an association. And that would be a negative association or a minus sign. And that association would be, okay, don't do that again, right? Because I understand that the stove with the flame equals heat and pain. And so with that association, just think about all the different associations we have. Now, again, just because it's a positive association doesn't mean it's good for us. So let me give you an example of that. If every year on our birthday we were given a whole cake and our parents said, you can eat that whole cake is yours, we're celebrating you, it's all about you, eat the whole cake, it's all yours. And you just devoured that cake. And every year you had the association, hey, it's my birthday, I'm going to celebrate. And celebration equals eating that cake, that whole cake, devouring it, giving yourself permission. Now, don't we have this idea when we go on vacation as well? Oh, we're on vacation. Splurge. Indulge. But every year around birthday time, we might have that tendency to eat something that we wouldn't eat any other time, that cake, right? So that's an example. Now, if we continue to eat and eat and eat because we're celebrating or it's a special occasion, but we're stuffing ourselves, we might then gain weight. And that's not necessarily, like I said, healthy for us. It's not necessarily truly positive for our being. Okay, so we have these identifications and associations, and we also begin to use these identifications in a way where we generalize things, right? So let me give an example of generalizing. We have items that are known by more than one name, so like Kleenex. Right? Kleenex is known. It's actually a tissue, right? It's a plain tissue, but the brand name Kleenex is now so well known that we might generalize and just ask for a Kleenex. Do you have a Kleenex? Instead of, do you have a tissue? So we also can do that with countertops, Formica tops. I mean, there's all kinds of different associations and identifications where we generalize now. And we ask for something based upon that. And that's usually something where the mass population agrees upon something. So we have to be really careful in our subconscious mind. What is our programming? What has been okay for our parents or our siblings, but really it's not okay for us? And we have to be able to shift that subconscious blueprint and make the changes that we want to make for ourselves. Are we constantly growing and expanding? Absolutely. Are we going to be shifting and adjusting on levels all the time? Yes. I remember when I first got the hit to stop eating meat, you know, chicken. And I loved chicken. I was eating chicken almost every day. And I got that hit that I needed to stop eating chicken, that it wasn't really healthy. And my identification was positive and negative because I actually lived in northwestern Arkansas for a time, and they had a Tyson chicken factory. And I used to hear horror stories about people dropping the chicken on the factory floor and the workers just picking it up and just putting it back, not washing it, not cleaning it, not throwing it away. And so I remember this interesting dynamic within myself and recognizing I have these positive and negative identifications and associations, or what we would call knowns. And also, I had this push-pull against wanting to be really clean energetically and knowing that I was moving to become an energetic channel and that I couldn't really take on too much of another being's energy in my body, because you have to process it out. And it's very difficult to process out someone else's energy, even food, even an animal that you take in. And it took me over a year to just buy into my higher self guidance that it was okay to release that desire that I had to eat chicken. And by the second year, I released the need to have chicken altogether and finally came into a place where my body felt much better. I could channel at a higher level, and I had shifted any of those desires and wantings and the habit that I had for going for the chicken, right? So it takes something for us to begin shifting those knowns in the subconscious mind. If you are back at your circle for your theory of your mind and you put another line just a few inches above that midline, and you put critical mind in there, that's our critical mind. And the critical mind actually is the place that supports us in not taking on so much energy from the outside world. Have you ever had a salesman or salesperson come to you or call you on the phone and try to sell you something? You're in a store, they try to sell you something. And they have all their points lined up as to why you should buy this. Well, after the first one or the second one, you still hold your strength to say, no, that I'm not buying into that. After about the 10th time, you might start being convinced. And this critical mind is the area that's responsible for you to be able to hold true to what you know. Now, this is an interesting and kind of tricky space in here, right? Because as I told you, your knowns are based on prior identifications and associations. So if something is new and you're just hearing it for the first time, that critical mind, I like to think of it right there at the eyebrow level in your mind, because, you know, sometimes when someone's telling you something that's new or different, and maybe it's even about energy healing or energy work, right, your brows kind of furrow and you're like, well, I don't know about that. It's because you're processing. You're holding the information as an idea in the critical mind area, and you're checking with the subconscious to see if it fits into anything that's prior known. And so it's really difficult to break through that critical mind and to get into the subconscious to shift. So what happens is that subconscious mind is about 88 to 90% of our power. And again, that's based on something that we grew up with. It's a blueprint. The critical mind, when it is in overwhelm, when you are in overwhelm, when it has taken on too much information from the environment, too much information from your body, like if your body was in pain, if it has taken on too much information from your conscious mind, like logic, reasoning, willpower, decision making, stress, your critical mind begins suffering and it breaks. It breaks down. So there's no holding area. Everything, all the pieces of information, all the information that salesperson was giving you over and over and over, point after point after point, would just be sponged up. It would just be soaked up. And pretty soon, that subconscious mind is just filled up. It's filled to the brim. It's just overflowing, right? And so what happens is that you then aren't able to clearly make a choice. You're too much in overwhelm. And we call that state of overwhelm hypnosis. You would be put into a state of hypnosis. Now, we don't want you put into a state of hypnosis unconsciously, right? Because again, if you imagine every piece of information as a little toothpick coming at you and you're getting bombarded with a billion bits of information, then that's just hitting you, hitting you, hitting you, hitting you. And pretty soon there's no place to go, no place to run, and you're not in recognition that your critical mind is fractured. But we do want you consciously in a state of hypnosis when you want to access the subconscious mind, when you want to go in there and you want to make your shifts and changes to your knowns and you want to clean it up and you want to reprogram. But ultimately, overwhelm comes because you have a critical mind that has been fractured, damaged, broken down because you have had too much input. And I believe that with all the new energies coming in this drastic shift and change that we've been going through, and especially even within our own being, from the masculine to the feminine, our critical mind doesn't quite know how to handle all of that. Our auric field doesn't quite know how to handle all of it. And remember, your consciousness is not in your brain. It's in your energetic field. So that critical mind needs to be restored. And you only want to break that down, so to speak, break it down, in order to access the subconscious mind for reprogramming. And you want to be in charge of that. So you also have your conscious mind, which is about 10 to 12% of your power. And you can, by the law of repetition, which would be kind of like saying affirmations, begin to shift your subconscious, right? You would just repeat something over and over and over again. Well, that's going to take a long time, considering that your power of your subconscious is so high. So the conscious mind, decision-making, logic, reasoning, willpower needs to be mentored. And it needs to be mentored by your higher self. So our intention here throughout this program, and even today as I take you through a guided imagery, is to get you centered in your heart, which is really telling your higher self, I'm ready for you to be in charge. It's going to have you move out of the mind into the space where you have more power. You're also going to be able to then recognize when there's too much input and when you have to restore your own critical mind. The cool thing about the critical mind is it actually knows how to dump out the trash. So if you have taken on way too much nonsense during the day, like you're listening to other people talk and it's just mind chatter, right? It's just literally like you've got your own mind chatter, other people are just, you know, talking and it doesn't pertain to you. All of that gets accumulated in that holding center, right? When you go to sleep at night, you're sleeping at night and you're processing. And you actually have what we call venting dreams. Those are early morning dreams. And you vent out and release. You dump out the trash, so to speak, in your early morning dreams. So if you've been having wild and crazy dreams, you've been going through something, and these dreams don't seem to make sense. They're not premonition dreams. They're not trying to tell you something. These are just crazy venting dreams. That's why if you watch a scary movie before you go to bed, you're going to have nightmares, because it's actually your being is saying, this is nonsense. This is junk. And I'm just going to have to process it out. I'm just going to have to clear it out. So everything that we take into our body and being makes a difference. We have to run it through our being to process it. And so the critical mind dumps out the trash. You can imagine that if your critical mind is not secure, it's not going to be dumping out the trash. It's not working properly. So again, the overwhelm is going to just take you out, because it just gets worse and worse and worse. If you've seen any of the movies or reality shows like Survivor or something like that, these people go out onto an island, they don't get any sleep, so they can't dump out. They're in overwhelm. They're afraid the environment. There's lack of resources. So their critical mind breaks down, and some of them just go cuckoo. You know, they're just kind of crazy. They're just kind of off. And we need to restore our critical mind, and we also want to make sure that our higher self is in charge. So the higher self is in charge of the conscious mind. It's in charge of keeping the critical mind restored and strong. And it's in charge of indicating when there is a pattern or a known in the subconscious mind that needs to be shifted. When you are in charge and when you are living as the higher self, you can mentor your own mind. You can have it recognize that it's important to get out of a situation that's breaking it down, that's causing it to go offline, and you can start streamlining your energy. So that's what we're here to do. The magical time for you to use these mind meditations, the magical time when you're in that natural state of hypnosis, when the critical mind is not so strong, is right after you awaken in the morning, and also 30 minutes before bedtime. If you've ever seen any little kids, when it's about bedtime, their eyes start glazing over, and you can just tell they get these little fuzzy eyes, and you know that they're going into a natural state of hypnosis, and they're tired. And so we want to use that time period, the magical 30 minutes before you go to bed and 30 minutes between, you know, the time that you awaken and 30 minutes after. If you possibly can, that's the time that you want to use these meditations. Okay, I want to talk a little bit about the ways to deepen your guided meditation. So you want to relax your body. And really, it's common for us in an effort to concentrate to tense the body unconsciously. That deep concentration, however, is really possible only in a state of complete relaxation. So it might feel as if I'm contradicting myself, but the state of hypnosis is actually a heightened state of awareness. So you might find that you've confused a heightened state of awareness with overwhelm or anxiety. We don't want you in overwhelm or anxiety, but we do want you in a heightened state of awareness. The difference is that, one, when you're at a heightened state of awareness, you have had a solid critical mind, and so you're consciously taking the time to penetrate through that critical mind in order to get to the subconscious. Being in overwhelm, again, being in a state of anxiety, is when you're living with a chronic critical mind that's been chronically down. It has been fractured. It's like a bridge that has collapsed, okay? So what you can do is you can practice the tensing of your body and the relaxation of your body. Tensing up your body, relaxing your body. And it's really an effective way to release stored up bodily tension and allowing yourself to retrain your body and being to know the difference. I find so many people are walking around in a state of hypnosis. They're tensed up, they're anxious, and they have no critical mind. So if you practice, what does it feel like for my body to be really, really tense, and then let go, you're going to start allowing your body to have new associations. When you get in the car, when you put your hands on the steering wheel, are you tensing up or are you relaxed? Yes, you need to hold on to that steering wheel, but you don't have to be tense in doing it. When you're standing and doing the dishes or cooking, are you bringing anxiety to that space? Are your muscles tense or are you relaxing? Start to allow your body to be trained in a new way, okay? So you'll be able to use breathing exercises and you'll also be able to use this tense and relax and go through each part of your body and practice that. Okay, the intention. You want to set an intention before your meditation because it's going to help you remember why you're doing it. You're also going to be inviting the divine, your higher self, to help you in your practice, to be there to support you. Now, I want you to not be really hard on yourself, because again, this is what most people do, is they want to just kind of beat their mind into submission. And this is a different way. This is about really utilizing the skill set that you have, the knowledge that you have, to access the subconscious mind and shift it. Now, your body is used to moving around. It may not be used to just relaxing and going into this perfectly still space. So I just want to warn you, moving your body even slightly sends the energy rushing into the muscles, okay? And the purpose of this mind mastery meditation, meditations are really to withdraw the energy inward and to allow you to draw it into your heart space. And what will happen is that as you learn to do that, you're able to build up this reservoir, right? There's this beautiful reservoir. It's a soul center, right, in and around your heart space. So if you have to move, that's okay. But really, physical movement during meditation is going to be, it's going to counteract the effort, okay? So keep yourself from fidgeting. Remind yourself to relax and kind of untangle yourself. Intend to remain still, at least for those first 5 minutes of meditation. You're going to find that your body's going to grow calm. And it'll do this of its own accord, really. It just starts to learn to unwind, and you start to have new associations and identifications to what relaxation really means. So your physical and mental restlessness is going to subside. The longer you relax and you learn how to surrender more and more to allowing the energy from these suggestions to penetrate deep into your psyche, and you are all on board with it. Like, all parts of your being are on board with you making this shift. It's going to make a big difference. The eye positioning. So for guided visualization, you can begin with your eyes focused on your heart. That heart convergence point, that's where this, imagine a vertical line and a horizontal line going through your heart, right there at the heart chakra. That's what we call your heart convergence point. It's going to allow you to kind of do your own thing, and you're not forcing your eyes to maintain this position. So after a while, when you start, put your attention at your heart, and then just allow your eyes to kind of do whatever they need to do, okay? Because they are going to shift depending on the state of consciousness that you're at, okay? And I know for regular meditation, you usually, you know, close your eyes and hold them steady, looking at, you know, slightly downwards at your heart and that heart chakra. But for this, I just want you to allow yourself to set the intention that you're bringing the energy towards the heart. You're magnetizing that heart convergence point. You're drawing the energy of your body to the reservoir center, and you're allowing the energies to build up your vital life force, okay? And now let's talk about your breath. I want you to not effort with your breathing. Don't try to control the breath. Just let it flow naturally. You're going to notice that there's pauses between the inhalation and exhalation. Those are going to become longer in between those. And just enjoy the pauses. Just allow yourself to be there. You're going to start really getting a glimpse of this deep state of advanced relaxation. And you're going to grow calm. Your breath is going to become shallow. The pauses are going to prolong. It's good. And you might not even remember that you're breathing. You know, it hardly seems necessary to even breathe at all. But you don't need to be alarmed. It's good. You're just going to allow your body to relax as much as you possibly can. Now, in setting up a space, it's really good to set aside an area that's used exclusively for you going into the state of meditation, using the mind mastery meditations. And what's going to happen is that you're going to form an identification and an association to the space. You actually will have an anchor. And also, you're going to saturate the energy in that space with relaxation, with these kind of spiritual vibrations, with calm, with serenity, with peace. You can have, you know, this small space in the corner of your bedroom. I want you to be in somewhat of a reclined position. You know, it's really best to be reclining, not all the way down. If you need to be all the way down, that's okay. But I don't want you going to sleep if you can help it. Now, there's a difference. You could listen to the meditation, a guided journey, prior to bedtime, again, 30 minutes prior to bedtime, and go deep into that state of relaxation. It's good to listen to the suggestions as I take you deeper and deeper. And you can also then listen to that guided journey again and just fall asleep to it. You could literally put it on replay where it just repeats and repeats and repeats, and you're going to feel the effects of that. What's going to happen is going to be like every time you go deep and you are given the suggestions, again, you're literally shifting the knowns in your subconscious mind. And pretty soon what's going to happen is the way that you used to think about yourself, the way that you used to think about others, that's going to shift. The way that you used to process information might actually be sped up, so you're not getting frustrated as easily. You're able to find your mind really calm, where you can access information and where you have better recall. And so we're training the mind and the subconscious to work for you, and you are mastering it. You're basically telling it what you want it to do, how you want it to function, okay? Now, also, you want to get one of those eye masks. It's going to redirect attention to the inside. It's really important when you're doing your M3 mind meditations. Just allow your attention to go in and to just block out anything else. Remember, what breaks down the critical mind is that input, nonstop input. Your being needs to rest. Your mindset needs to be a mind at rest while you're doing this. And even throughout the day, while you're working, if you can take even 5 minutes, put on your eye mask, relax back, rest your mind, and imagine your critical mind being rebuilt, that's going to save you so much energy. You're going to conserve life force energy, and then you'll be able to utilize that energy when you want to focus on something, to achieve something, okay? You're not going to be as scattered. You're going to be able to kind of like a laser beam. You're going to be able to gather it up like a laser beam, focus that, okay? Thank you so much for this time together. Thank you for being in the space of recognition of yourself, understanding the importance of mastering your mind. And I will soon be sending you the Mind Mastery Meditations through email. You're going to get them. And my request is that you listen to them as they come to you, and you focus on one at a time. Allow yourself to listen to them, even for one whole week at least. If you feel like you want to listen to that one longer, go ahead and do it for longer. But at least we're going to progress, we're going to go through, and I want you to listen to them in order, and allow yourself to move in order through them and go deeper and deeper, as much as you can open, as much as you can release and let go, as much as you can surrender to the suggestions. There's going to be some suggestions that you're going to find. They're going to come directly from me. But also, there's going to be moments in time when I pause and I guide you to giving yourself your own suggestions. There's no right or wrong way of doing these. So trust your higher self wherever it takes you. you might also find that there's this feeling of just floating, or you have a sense that you don't know what time it is, that you're out of time in that time-space reality. That's good. We want you there. And I also want to remind you that, again, you're training yourself. You're mentoring your mind. Your mind is now in training. What is it like to have your higher self in charge, that wise one of you really guiding you? And so just allowing all the little shifts, they're going to be very subtle, but they're going to start adding up. And you might find that you're thinking in a totally different way. So if there is stress or if there is occasion for disturbance in your system, you might not even react to it in that old way. You might notice it and just let it simply pass you by. You're not even needing to pay attention to all those little things that used to add up to frustration. You're simply in that space of being diligent. You're committed towards allowing yourself to be in charge of your energy. Okay? Wonderful. Oh, thank you so much. And thank you for, again, choosing to be here with me at this appointed time. I know it's the perfect time for you. And I'm wishing you so much love and goodness and all of the bright blessings to come to you for abundance and joy and real happiness in your life, to get out of the overwhelm and into that place of clarity and peace and enjoyment of your life and your daily activities and all of the magic that the universe brings. Much love to you. Bye-bye, everybody.